Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football, and to kick things off right away on the show, we have a guest on the line. We have Jimmy Kaska, host of The Water Cooler on 1400 Sports Talk Radio WBIZ in Eau Claire. Jimmy, Mr. Kaska, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, Brian. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's glad to have you on the show. I've always wanted to get Jimmy on, kind of repaying the favor. He has me on his show all the time, so I wanted to get him on there. And what I want to do is he's out in Eau Claire in the western part of the Wisconsin, and I wanted to talk to him about his area of expertise, and particularly WEAC football. And, of course, the Packers had a tryout player in from the WEAC this past year, Tyler Butzler of Stout. Do I have that name right? Do you remember that, Jimmy? Hello? Did we lose Jimmy? Hang on one second, folks. I'm going to try to get him back on the line. Let's see what happened here. I'm not sure exactly what happened. The perils of live broadcasting, I guess. Here, I'm calling him right now. As we wait for the ringing. Here we go.
I'm back.
Do we have you back? All right.
We've got you back, yeah. It's the wonders of technology.
Yes, yes. Well, I apologize for that, but we're glad to have you back on the line. As I was trying to say before, Mr. Kaska, Jimmy, we wanted to talk to you about your area of expertise out in the western part of the state, WEAC football, where the University of Eau Claire, University of Stout, and River Falls, all within a very short distance of each other. So, as far as college sports goes, I mean, that is the heartland of Wisconsin, and people really love their football over there. And the Packers this past year had a tryout player from the University of Stout, Tyler Butzler, if I'm correct. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you have that correct. Yeah, he was a tryout player. You know, this isn't too uncommon for a team like the Packers or the Vikings or heck, when the Chiefs were still practicing at UW River Falls, they would bring in guys from the WIAC. Not too uncommon, because what will happen sometimes is guys will fall through the cracks sometimes. They won't get a scholarship somewhere. They'll be kind of close to home. They'll look for an opportunity, and the WIAC is one of, if not the premier college football conference in the entire country. UW-Whitewater obviously has reeled off four of the last seven national championships. They've actually got a couple of guys that have gone on to have, some smattering of a pro career. In fact, this year, their quarterback from the last 4 years, Matt Blanchard, is actually in camp with the Chicago Bears and had a little playing time in their last game. So, the WIAC, very well represented when it comes to the pro teams. You'll find every once in a while, you'll find that diamond in the rough, and they'll get their shot with a pro team.
I've heard that before. People say, the WIAC is the premier Division III conference in America. Now, everybody just knows, I mean, this is not a football factory. But as you said, I mean, some good guys come out of there. What is it that makes it potentially the best Division III conference in all of America?
It all really starts at the top. It's very well organized, and the opportunity for athletes, they get a great chance to compete. You're in the middle of the country, so unlike being a lot of Division III schools, you're going to find are over on the East Coast. You're going to find that you're going to find that opportunity to be able to compete with those teams. When it comes to playoff time or non-conference time, you're also finding the WIAC, and this is something that when you're talking about Division III, there are no scholarships at this level. It's the division of the NCAA. NCAA has divisions for athletics 1, 2, and 3. 3 is the level where they do not offer any scholarships of any kind. So the academics of some of these schools, like the UW Eau Claire, some of these schools have such good academic standards that it's something to hang your head upset about if you graduate from there and you've got your MBA from one of these schools, or, you know, you go back for a master's degree, education, anything like that. The educational opportunities, the academic pursuits for a lot of these schools, that's the other major draw, and that tends to bring in some of the brightest kids in the country. Now, maybe they're not the stud athlete, the five-star Rivals.com recruit that goes on and is playing at Wisconsin or playing at a Division I college, but in Wisconsin here anyway, the Division III level, you have a very good opportunity to play not only in a competitive conference athletically, but you also have a great opportunity to get yourself a pretty good education as well.
How is the WIAC shaping up this year? You know, I know the University of Wisconsin, the FBS division of college football, has started already. Have the WIAC schools started up?
The WIAC schools, some of them are indeed in camp because a number of them are opening up their season that same weekend. September 1st is the first game for a few of the schools. I know UW-Whitewater will open up a couple of days early against Washington University. They're, of course, UW-Whitewater, the three-time defending national champs, so they get to start a little bit early against another top school in the country. So some of these schools, yes, they have already broken camp. Some of them aren't starting until September 8th, so they'll get started sometime this week. I know that pretty much every school in the conference, all eight schools, have issued equipment, and they're getting all ready to go.
Very cool. Now, joining us on the show is Jimmy Kaska of 1400 WBIZ in Eau Claire. And Jimmy, you actually played high school football with new Broncos safety Jim Leonard. I know a lot of Packers fans out there were lobbying for Green Bay to sign Leonard. Did you ever think that had a chance of happening?
You know, the thing is when you have a relationship with somebody who has gone into a pro career, I'm not going to say we're best friends or anything, but we do get a chance to talk every once in a while. He runs a football camp up at our former high school at Flambeau High School, which is about an hour and 15 minutes north and a little bit east of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That would be about a 2.5 hour drive in the Twin Cities, kind of north and east. You know, you obviously talk about, you know, well, what are the prospects of going to the hometown team? This isn't the first time that Packers fans have lobbied for him to come here. I remember his rookie year coming out of Wisconsin. I remember the post-game Packers show after they had played the Bills in preseason. There were Packers fans calling into the post-game show asking why the Packers didn't pursue this guy in undrafted free agency. He ended up signing with the Bills for a $10,000 signing bonus, and I guess, as you say, the rest is history. He's gone on to have a pretty successful pro career for a guy who had his only scholarship offer come from D2 University of Minnesota Duluth.
Very interesting. Now, I also understand you have a story about Brett Favre, and I want to hear this.
Okay, I teased this a little bit ago. I teased this a couple days ago on Twitter when we set up the interview. But when I first started, I got my opportunity in radio. I worked in Eau Claire first. I moved on to Madison, worked on the Badgers Radio Network for a while. And one of the things I got to do was I was able now to go cover, you know, Packers. I could go cover the Packers in training camp, and I'd go cover a preseason game. I went to a practice in training camp, and they had some player availability after practice. One of my brothers set me up to it because it's been a long debate in our household. My younger brother is a huge Denver Broncos fan. He's from Minnesota, so he's my younger stepbrother. He's from Minnesota, so he ended up rooting for the Broncos his whole life. And we wanted to settle a childhood debate, essentially. Who could throw a football further, John Elway or Brett Favre? So I'm at training camp, and I don't know why I asked it or how I worked at the nerve to do it, but I actually asked Brett Favre, who can throw a football further, you or John Elway? And he just kind of laughed. He smiled. He patted me on the shoulder, and he didn't really answer the question, but I got the sense that he was feeling pretty confident about himself. It was just one of those moments where, you know, maybe as a journalist you're thinking, you know, well, probably not the most professional thing to do, but you know what? I never got a chance in my life again to ask him the question. I probably would have regretted not being able to ask it. as it turns out, I think my younger brother, because Favre kind of didn't really answer the question. I had my audio recorder. He never really fully answered the question. My younger brother now owns the bragging rights. He now goes around telling everybody that Brett Favre admits John Elway can throw a ball farther than him, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, that's a good story. One of those things that people would just love to debate just at home, things like that. You talked a little bit about how you got into radio and stuff, and Eau Claire is a unique market because, I mean, of course, I think there's a lot of Packer fans there, but just the proximity to Minnesota and the Vikings and Minnesota sports in general. Could you talk about that dynamic a little bit, how there's kind of a tug and pull over there in Eau Claire as far as, you know, fans and their ties to professional teams?
You know, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about because there's a very common misconception, not only with national media that I've gotten the opportunity to talk to, but even with media here in the state of Wisconsin, where a lot of people will say, well, Eau Claire, that's pretty much Minnesota, right? You guys are all wearing the Viking horns, riding around the streets with Ragnar with the big Viking horn, waving the purple flag. Well, not exactly true. We're not singing Skull Vikings in the streets or anything here in Eau Claire. There was a great book written about 3 or 4 years ago called Life After Favre by Phil Hanrahan, and he talked about, he made a visit to Eau Claire. He stopped at a bar here. A lot of the bars here are Packers themed, Packers logos in the front. And he very accurately described in the book what a lot of locals feel around here, that the Packers Vikings split is about 65-35, maybe 70-30. It's obviously further east you go, the more Packers fans there are. Further west you go, you're talking Menominee, where it's probably 50-50, River Falls, where it's probably almost all the way full in favor of the Vikings. The thing is that Eau Claire very much is Packers territory. There are no Vikings-themed bars, or at least no bars willing to advertise the Vikings right on their front windows or anything. You find a lot of places where there's a fourth and goal, and the G in goal is a big Packers logo. You know, the Packers-Vikings dynamics here, though, is incredible because you can go to a lot of different sports bars or other establishments. You can go to a Buffalo Wild Wings or something, and you'll see in the bar, you'll have one side of the bar where it's people in Aaron Rodgers jerseys and they got the cheese heads on. On the other side, there you go. You got your Vikings fans for a Packers Vikings game. It's a very interesting split. And when the two teams, when Favre was playing for the Vikings, here in Eau Claire, I don't think there was ever really a better time to be on the radio or being in the media as far as having the only place here in Eau Claire to have a spot to have people call in and talk about, you know, well, Favre's a Viking, how do you feel about this? And you have fans from both sides coming off the radio to talk about how they felt about it. It really is an incredible market when you think about the proximity and the fact that when you get away from football and other sports, you're talking baseball or basketball, not so much college sports. I think the Badgers have a pretty good foothold here, but you're talking about like the Twins versus the Brewers or the Timberwolves versus the Bucks. And in those cases, it's actually more in favor of Minnesota here. It is very interesting geography-wise here in western Wisconsin, just given the fact that, in certain sports, Minnesota certainly dominates, but the Wisconsin aspect of it, you know, Packers fans pretty much here at home here in the city of Eau Claire.
Very interesting. I love hearing about that. Before we let you go, Jimmy, I just kind of want to get maybe some NFL predictions for you this year. How do you think the Packers will do? How do you think the Vikings will do? Do either of them, or maybe a Super Bowl winner? However you want to take this, feel free.
You know, it's great that you ask me about predictions. I'm not typically the guy who'll go on record and say, well, I think the Packers will win these 12 games this year. But, I look at this season I'll just focus on the NFC North for a second. I actually had more stuff prepared for the Y, I can believe it or not. But you're asking me for predictions on the NFC North and the Packers and Vikings. I look at the Packers team, and much like last year, I don't think people really expected a 15-1 year from the Packers last year. I don't think you can really expect that from a team like the Packers this year. In the NFL, obviously things happen year to year. I don't think that the Packers are going to be a team, however, that ends up on the outside looking in on the playoff race. They're just so talented. I mean, last year they gave up a record amount of passing yards, and they still end up losing just one regular season game. So, at least in some aspects, as disappointing as the three series in the first preseason game were to some fans, maybe you're a little down on the team. It's not a team that's in any trouble. In fact, missing the playoffs or not being in contention. You look around the other parts of the NFC North. People really feel like the Bears have improved. You follow their media; they seem to be concerned about things like the Packers. Offensive line seems to be a number one concern for the Bears. Brian Urlacher now with his arthroscopic knee surgery, that seems to be a concern for them. The Vikings, it's kind of a quiet optimism. I've only been to one of their practices this year. I've been to a couple Packers practices, one Vikings practice. And it's kind of a quiet optimism that they will improve, but they know that that team is still a couple of years out from really being a team that can be reckoned with in the NFC North. And then Detroit, of course, has had their offseason issues during the summer, but that is a team, again, that last year, those Packers-Lions games were pretty intense. I remember sitting around on Thanksgiving and watching that game. Things got pretty heated, of course. There was the incident during that game and everything, but that's a team, too, that they look to be, if the Bears haven't taken that title from them, being one of the Packers' biggest challenges is here in the NFC North.
Well, while we have you, do you have a prediction for the WIAC as well? I mean, can anybody approach Whitewater in the near future?
You know, I'm glad that I get to wrap up with this because I spent a good deal of time talking about it yesterday on my show in Eau Claire, is that every year we go into the year and the same kind of thought prevails around the league. Like a few years ago when they lost a great running back by the name of Justin Beaver, who had set a number of NCAA rushing records. They lost a number of great players from that team. Like this year now, they've lost Blanchard. He's now in camp with the Chicago Bears. Lavelle Coppedge, a terrific running back the last 4 years there, lost a number of other great players on both sides of the ball. People kind of look at this year as being, well, Whitewater's lost so much, this is the year someone takes him down. The last 7 years have proven that Whitewater has been pretty capable of sustaining a program. Obviously with 4 national titles, 7 national title appearances, championship game appearances, Whitewater does look to be obviously the favorite in the division. What happens in the WIAC too much, though, is that they spend the 7 conference games all beating up on one another. So Whitewater usually escapes, and they're the team that makes the playoffs, and then everybody else kind of watches them represent the conference. This year, you could say that it is a little more open for a team to sneak in there. A lot of people think Oshkosh has that chance. They were a very explosive team last year. Maybe another year of a seasoning will help them. The WIAC, top to bottom, tends to be a very tough conference, and it doesn't help matters, too, that on top of the 7 conference games they play a couple of years ago, they instituted for a little cost-saving measure, also to for the simple fact that a lot of teams outside the WIAC won't play a UW-Eau Claire or UW-Whitewater non-conference play. They don't want that loss on the record when it comes to playoff pick time. They actually play a non-conference game, too, against another WIAC school. Not something I'm a fan of, but they end up playing 8 of their 10 games. Every team in the conference plays 8 of their 10 games against another team in the WIAC. So they get a lot of opportunity to beat up on one another. Whitewater would be your favorite, I think, pretty easily in the minds of a lot of people. Again, they have lost quite a bit. So if there is an opportunity for someone to jump up and grab the throne this year, this certainly seems to be it. Every year, Whitewater has played a close game. They've been really close to, in a lot of games every year. They'll win a game by just a score. A couple years ago, Eau Claire, 16-14 they won. They won by a touchdown over one of the teams in the conference last year. I forget which team. It's not like these teams are so far apart and Whitewater is blowing teams out 60-0 every week. A lot of these games are competitive, and after some time, somebody's going to figure out the Whitewater thing, and there will be a change. It's just the law of football. Something's going to happen where another team will have a chance to shine and make the playoffs.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for your insight. It's great to talk about the WIAC, great to talk about the push and pull between Wisconsin and Minnesota. I love all these topics. And when are we talking again? On your side?
Well, we will be talking Friday. We'll be recapping the Packers preseason game coming up tomorrow against Cleveland. We'll have a chance to recap and see if the offense can get things going a bit there in the second preseason game and give people a little more reason to complain a lot less after that first game. People spent the last week complaining about that first team offense and how things were looking with all the turnovers. Hopefully they've cleaned things up here for the second game.
Absolutely. All right, Jimmy Kaska of 1400 WBIZ in Eau Claire, thank you for joining us this morning on Railbird Central, and let's do it again sometime.
We will definitely do it again real soon. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks a lot. Once again, Jimmy Kaska, WBIZ in Eau Claire, joining us here on Railbird Central. A good day to talk Packers football. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. I see a lot of different people checking in on the live blog. Sandra Piquez from Australia. G'day, mate. Checking in all the way from halfway around the world. Fantastic. We got international flavor today. Who else did we have from overseas joining us on the show here? I saw somebody check in. Brian checking in from rainy London, he says. So I imagine, do they have an Olympics hangover there in London? But thank you so much, everybody, and not just our overseas listeners, but everybody for checking in on the show here. And I can see a lot of different... John asks on the live blog here. I'll just get to these questions right away. Is there any chance the Packers would have interest in Jeff Demps? He runs a 4.240 and is a running back, punt kick and punt returner at Florida. Yeah, so Jeff Demps competed in the Olympics and, you know, had spent the past year or whatever, ever since football ended for him at Florida, preparing for the Olympics. And you can't blame him. What, didn't he win a silver medal? So, it all kind of paid off. I'm sure he wishes he won a gold medal. But anyway, I mean, here's a guy who has elite world-class speed. You know, it's very elite, like probably might be the fastest guy in the entire NFL. In fact, I'd go out on a limb and say without a doubt he's the fastest guy in the NFL, at least over 100 yards, which is what he ran in the Olympics. And so anyway, now with the Olympics over, he says he's going to turn his attention to professional football. And I just got to say, I don't think it's in the cards for the Packers to be doing it. I mean, because first of all, they have a really good kick return specialist in Randall Cobb. But second of all, I just don't know if Jeff Demps is a pro football player. I think maybe he's better off sticking with track and field. And I realize there's not really too much of a market there for professionalism in that particular sport. But, so I understand why he's turning to football, but I'm not sure as if he's going to be able to, carve out a role in the NFL, or at least I think he'll have a very hard time doing so, because I'm not sure how he would fit in at running back. But, you never know. You never know. So we'll see what kind of – I'm interested to see – who will take a chance on him and perhaps bring him in and give him a shot. So something to look forward to. Speaking of running backs here, I mean, a lot of attention on Cedric Benson, the new, free agent signing here of the Packers, and a lot of debate about whether it was the right thing, him versus Ryan Grant. Was it the right thing to bring a guy with a troubled past into the Packers? How was Cedric Benson going to fit in? And based upon Ted Thompson's comments to the media yesterday, Ted Thompson held a press conference, you really kind of get the feeling that this is not, really a training camp tryout for Cedric Benson, but, he's going to be expected to, be part of the Packers offense and perhaps a big part of their offense. And I thought, what's interesting is how does this affect the rest of the halfbacks in Green Bay? Not so much about John Kuhn, a fullback. I think his spot is secure on the roster as long as he's healthy. But, I mean, can the Packers keep four halfbacks on the roster? Benson, James Starks, Brandon Saint, Alex Green. Can they keep all four of them? Is that overkill at the running back position? We'll find out. I mean, still a lot to play out. Three preseason games left, and the Packers are going to want to see a lot from these guys. Cedric Benson isn't assured of a roster spot if he flops. I mean, if he absolutely shows he's now over the hill, or it just doesn't seem to offer a whole lot for whatever reason. I'm not expecting that out of Cedric Benson. I think he'll be fine. Where do these running backs, stack up? I've asked, threw that question out on Twitter this morning, and I got responses from people saying Cedric Benson will be cut, James Starks will be cut, Brandon Saint will be cut. So nobody, there's really no consensus out there. I don't know what to think. Like I said, there's a lot of time left, a lot of things to play out here, shake out. And of course, James Starks and Brandon Saint got to get healthy First of all, number one, you know, if they're not healthy, then that kind of puts them behind the eight ball a little bit. But, you know, assuming they're all healthy by the start of the regular season, what do the Packers do? Be really interesting. A new clue how it'll happen. So, Ted Thompson was a bit of a debate yesterday himself. Of course, you know, meeting with the media. But now, all of a sudden, with the signing of Cedric Benson, a guy who has a little bit of a troubled past, Ted Thompson has been very active in free agency, more so than he's ever been in his life, by signing Cedric Benson just a few days before signing Reggie Wells, the offensive lineman. But then during, you know, months ago during the offseason, they signed center Jeff Saturday, defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove, Daniel Muir, Philip Merling. The Packers signed a bunch of free agents this year. Really out of character. So, but on top of that, you know, that's not the only out of character move from Ted Thompson. Just 2 days ago, goes and signs TJ Lang to a contract extension, kind of when you also take into account the new contract signed by Josh Sitton a year ago. All of a sudden, Ted Thompson is kind of reversing course from his prior, I don't know if it's his opinion, but he had never prior to this paid offensive guards before. He never gave them big time contracts. And perhaps that's, you know, part of it is because the Packers haven't had this talented a guard tandem in Lang and Sitton since the days of Mike Wall and Marco Rivera. And that was kind of at the very beginning of Thompson's era. And he, you know, he kind of made a mistake there in not re-signing Mike Wall. That's, you know, water under the bridge now. But anyhow, it is a little bit of a different reversal of course here from Ted Thompson. And then on top of that, go back to the NFL draft when he goes and trades up three times in the draft, including twice in the second round. I mean, this is a whole new side of Ted Thompson that people haven't seen before. Yeah, I mean, and you know, that it's brought about questions of the whole term Packer people, and albeit this is Mike McCarthy's term, he coined that phrase when he was introduced as head coach of the Packers. But you know, there's kind of always been this thing where Packers have shied away from troubled players. Not exclusively. I mean, certainly they signed Corin Robinson a couple years ago. Charles Woodson, to an extent, kind of had a little bit of a checkered past, as Nick points out on the live blog. But, I mean, this year, between Anthony Hargrove, a guy who's been suspended for an entire year in the NFL, and now Cedric Benson, been arrested four times, suspended one game by the NFL. You know, and the Packers having four guys who are now suspended, you know, what is that saying about the term Packer people? The Packers have Anthony Hargrove, Mike Neal, Eric Walden, and Johnny Jolly, of course, who's still indefinitely suspended. But, I mean, there's four guys on the roster who are suspended. You include Cedric Benson, who was suspended. You know, it's really interesting. So the reversal of course here, you know, how this the makeup of this team is a little different than it has been in the past. Packer Ken says on the live blog, Hargrove will end up getting an injunction to play while that case is in the courts. And that could happen. That could happen. We're waiting upon. I've been waiting upon that for weeks to find out if this is going to happen or not. So, and who knows when that's going to come down the pike. But there is a chance that possibly Hargrove may avoid suspension. Stay tuned. We don't know what's going to happen there. So yeah, I find the whole topic of Ted Thompson here fascinating over the past couple days, you know, all the new direction he's taken in terms of team building. I wrote in this morning's Packers Daily Links, perhaps it's because, you know, he sees a window here for Super Bowl, that the Packers have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and he's, He's going to take advantage of that. He's not going to let that window close. He's going to put together the best team possible while they can, while there's a legitimate shot of them winning it with some real talent here in Green Bay, led, of course, by Aaron Rodgers. While we're talking about suspended players, I had written an article, a post, a blog post, kind of almost a stream of consciousness thing on Railbird, CheeseheadTV.com, about all the players that will be coming back to the Packers mid-season, whether it's through suspension, whether it's through players on the PUP list, and perhaps even injured reserve this year. You got all these players currently on the roster who are going to be off the roster at least temporarily and then brought back at midseason. There's a lot of them, and this is kind of unprecedented to an extent in Packers history. So, like I said, you've got three players who are coming back from suspension: Hargrove, Neal, Walden. I mean, you got Johnny Jolly out there, but we don't really know what's going to happen to him. You've got two guys who are, I think, really good chances to begin the regular season on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, in Derek Sherrod and Andrew Corliss. Nothing's guaranteed. This is just my thoughts and my opinion, but I think those two players are going to start the year on the PUP list. And you know, when you start the regular season on the PUP list, you got to sit out for 6 weeks. You have to. You can't come back before that. And then after 6 weeks, the Packers have 3 weeks to decide whether to sign them to the 53-man roster or not. So I think that's a good chance for Corliss and Sherrod to begin that season there. And then they'll come back. And then when they come back, the Packers are going to have to make room for them. They're going to have to cut someone, or they're going to have to place some other player on injured reserve. So how the Packers handle that when these players come back from suspension, from the PUP list, be really interesting to see how they handle that. I mean, because you don't want to lose these guys you have currently on the roster. Not necessarily. Kevin Lamb asks on the live blog, any word on Zombo? How is he doing? You know, he could start the season on the PUP list as well. I think it's a little bit less likely, just because I think Frank Zombo is perhaps on his way out of Green Bay. I just can't see them, really. He's just been so injured and unreliable, you just can't rely on him. I mean, yeah, I suppose there's no hurt in putting him on the PUP list, and then after 6 weeks, if you don't want him, then cut him. You know, I suppose there's no hurt in that. But I think you might see the Packers part ways with Zombo before then. He's got to prove it. I mean, it would just be nice if he could get healthy, play in some preseason games, and be ready to go and, like, shock the world and show, I deserve to be out there. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's, I think, his only way of making the team. Comment from Aylburn on the live blog. Any news on House or Newhouse? Well, Newhouse is, yeah, he's returned to practice. He's going to play in Thursday's game against the Browns at Lambeau Field, the preseason home opener. So he's back. He's good. Newhouse is good to go. As far as Devon House goes, the technical term is a subluxation, which means a dislocation of the shoulder. What the Packers are going to do is they're going to wait 2 to 3 weeks on Devon House, and after 2 to 3 weeks, decide his future. So basically, when training camp is done, and right before the regular season begins, they're going to decide, okay, he needs surgery, or no, we'll just play through the plane and play with a harness. And you're just going to have to wait on a decision on Devon House. It's going to be 2-3 weeks yet before they decide whether to do that. So basically, you can discount Devon House playing in any more preseason games this year. But it is possible he'll be ready for week 1 of the regular season. It's possible. possible, but not guaranteed. So it's a wait and see game. And I know people would love to have a more definitive answer than that, but that's just not the way it works. So, you know, where was I going? You know, talking about players coming back at midseason, there's also the possibility here, the potential for the new injured reserve rule to take effect this year. And either Devon House or Desmond Bishop could be a candidate to do it under this proposed rule that has yet to be approved by the Players Association, the Players Union, although it could be approved at any time. We don't know. One player is eligible to come off injured reserve. And, you know, it's very specific rules how this is going to happen. The Packers and every team in the NFL, what would have to happen is they have to designate the specific player who's going to come off injured reserve late in the season. I don't think you can even do it till after week 8 or something like that. But they have to choose before that time, before week 8, what player that is. And so it's a really a delicate situation. You have to decide, well, does Desmond Bishop even have a chance of coming back this year? And if he doesn't, do we designate Devon House as the guy that we'll put on injured reserve and he can come back later? Or are they going to wait to see between now and the start of the regular season if there's any more injuries that occur and perhaps use it on somebody else? So, you know, it's interesting, and it's right now it's a hypothetical situation. Like I said, it hasn't been approved yet, but there is a possibility this could be approved before the start of the regular season. All these things are up in the air right now, and I just think it's fascinating how the Packers will have to handle these situations with guys coming off of the PUP list, coming off the suspension, coming off injured reserve. Because when they come off, the Packers got to make room for them on the roster or cut them. But, you know, somebody's going to be cut in midseason or placed on injured reserve. So all these hypotheticals up in the air is just, you know, it's a weird situation. And you don't know what's going to happen. So anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central. We'll be back again Friday. In fact, we're going to have a guest on again on Friday. We're going to have David Erickson of the other Packers podcast, Packers Therapy, on as a guest. Talk to him and talk a little Packers football. So excited to do that Friday morning. We'll be recapping the Packers preseason game on Thursday against the Browns. So be interesting to talk and recap and see how the Packers do on Thursday. Thank you, everybody, again so much. Thanks to Jamie for joining us after a couple weeks away, joining us here as our live blog director. And we'll see you later, everyone. We'll be back on Friday. Until then, check out all the news you can at CheeseheadTV.com. See you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.